Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We bless your name for the way you have been showing up in this service. As we go into your word now, I ask and I pray that we come with grace. Your word will come with power. Your word will come with anointing. It will establish us. It will refresh us. It will guide us. It will lift us up in the spirit. It will edify us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we are praying. Put hands together for the Lord. Once again, I want us to put hands together for the Lord for the choir this morning. Amen. Today, let's stand on our feet. Let's stand on our feet. This is not part of my message. It was not. Lift your hands to the Lord. And I want you to key into this. This was not part of the plan for this, my message. It was just a pause. And a divine pause. And a divine release. Father, whatever is still hanging in the air, any suspended miracle, any suspended blessing, every good fruit that you are really still hanging, Lord, let it drop for these ones right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever power is suspending the blessing of anyone that is here. Whatever force or spirit is holding back, suspending divine allocation from the throne of grace unto anyone here or those online. My Lord and my God, we keep those powers right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let that blessing be released. Amen. Let that testimony be released. Amen. Let that progress be released. Amen. Let that advancement be released. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. No more suspended blessing. Amen. Let everyone hug his testimony or her testimony. Amen. This month of May. In the mighty name of Jesus. Put hands together for the Lord. I am going to conclude my series today. Today is fifth part. And can someone remind me again the title of that series? That Christ be formed in you. And can you remind me of our text? Galatians 4:19. Now I'm glad you are good student. Can you recite it without looking at the scripture on the screen? Now we say 1, 2, 3, go. My little children, of whom I travel in Christ again in birth, until Christ be formed in you. We are talking about Christ being formed in us. And I've told that we need to go through the formative process of growing from being a suckling to a babe, and from going from being a babe to a mature adult. That's of full age. And that when we do that, we need not just to be a number in the church, but they should be able to count on us. And when they count on us, that's not enough. We should be accountable. And I said that when we come to church, we are coming to church because that's the ground of truth. And I said that there are so many reasons why people come to church. And I said I was daily on lowly 7. And that three of those reasons are wrong reasons. And four are the right reason. And the first reason I talk about, can you mention it again? Those who come to church to look for something, for gain. They want job, they want contact, they want miracle, they want husband, they want a network. And we call it transactional membership. And we say those who just come for affiliation, we call them ceremonial. Those who come to church for ulterior motive, either diabolical or what we call them, diabolical or mischievous membership. And then we now started talking about the good reason. And we started those come to really fellowship. And we call them what? Consecrated membership. And last week, we talked about the fifth one, said those who come to church to serve. And we call that one sacrificial or participatory membership. And remember, just to refresh our memory for last week, that for you, when you come to church, you come just, if you really come to serve, you are not come as man pleaser, you are not coming for eye service, but you are come only to serve the Lord. And I said that we have everybody, we are members of the church, we are participants. But we said there are some who are participatory in the church, there are some who are parasites. Do you remember? So, and today, because of our time, I'll go quickly to the fifth one. You come to church also because you need to grow. Because when you are born again, apart from service, what you can even use with service, you need to grow. And growth is requires that, sometimes you need to be groomed. You need to be chiseled. You need to be trimmed. You need to be refined. If you do not grow, you are actually not useful for God. And for those who come to church and they desire growth, are those are called transformational membership. Because you need to be transformed from what you were before you came to a new thing that is closer to the image of Christ. Now, when we are talking about growth, I said first thing, it means that you need to be groomed. What does it mean to be groomed? That is to be fit for purpose. Because when we give our life to Christ, we are not totally useful the way we are. It's just the beginning. So God needs to really make sure that we are groomed. The process of growth is the process of preparation for positioning. If you refuse to grow, you cannot be prepared. If you are not prepared, you cannot be positioned. Are you listening to me? So if you have to grow, you must be ready to be groomed. You must be ready to be chiseled. I wish I understand English very well. Know what it means to be chiseled? It means to be cut. To be cut into proper shape. When you want to chisel something, it means to be cut to proper shape. Because we are not in the right shape when we are born again. We are not in the right shape when we first come to the church. So a church is a place where we need to be chiseled, to be cut to proper shape, where we need to be trimmed. What does it mean to be trimmed? We cut off some jaga-jaga, some jankawo, jakariwo. How many of us know the meaning of jakariwo? Cobwebs. We come to Christ. God will not ask you to go and remove all these cobwebs before he accepts you. No. God does not give you any precondition apart from just believing in Christ, confessing your sin, and then that is all. Once you believe that Christ is the Lord, and you confess your sin, and you are ready to follow it, that's the only precondition. God will not say, go first of God, go and remove the cobweb. But when you now make that decision, and you come into the church, church is a place where all those cobwebs are expected to be taken away. And it takes a process. So when you do not now grow, this cobweb cannot be taken away. You cannot be cut to shape. You cannot be groomed, which means you cannot be prepared and you cannot be positioned. And that is why, up with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 12. Maybe we read to 14, or we just read 12 and 14. Hebrews chapter 12. Can we just look at it quickly? For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that won't teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracles of God, and that become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Can you give me NIV quickly? Can you give me NIV quickly? God bless you. Now, anyone who lives on milk, NIV chapter, Hebrew chapter 5, starting from verse 12. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk and not solid food. Jump to verse 14. But solid food is for mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. See, many people, when they are supposed to have outgrown certain things, you see, have to see them that begin to treat them elementary principles again. It means that they have not grown. I want to ask you a question. Ask yourself, since when have I been in this church? If you are in the church for close to 1 year and you look at your life and nothing has really changed, possibly there might be two problems. Number one, either the church is not the right church, or number two, either your spirit is not the right spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's either the church is not preaching the messages that can change life, and in that case, you need to change the church. Or maybe the attitude you bring to church is not the right attitude. You have come to the church for the wrong reason, and you need to change your attitude. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the question you ask yourself, since you have started attending Cedar, what has really changed? Have you really grown? Are you still the way you are? The principle of God is that come the way you are, but don't remain the way you came. Are you listening to me? Come the way you are, but don't remain the way you came. So, but when people come to church, they want to preserve the way they came. And the moment they want to preserve the way they came, they can never grow. And that's why the Bible said the path of a righteous man shineth brighter and brighter until the perfect day. So you must ask yourself, am I really growing? And if you are not growing, Christ cannot be forming you. It's actually impossible. Because it's only through growth that he can be formed in you. And why this happened? Let's open quickly to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. I will tell you briefly, why is it that some people have refused to grow? Some have refused to grow because they have remained to enjoy their ignorance. They prefer to enjoy their ignorance. Ask who is sitting, do you wish to enjoy your ignorance? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. Some people prefer to enjoy their ignorance. Let's read it. Say, having, or see the screen? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. Having understanding darkened. Okay. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardening of their. Beautiful. They are impervious to change. When they come to church, they don't want the message of the church to change them, but rather they want the church to change to their own concept. This is the way they should do it. They want to reorientate, and if the church cannot be oriented to their will, either they remain the same or they walk away. So the Bible says they are separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because due to the hardening of their heart. Do you come to church with an open mind? That I just want to come to church and listen to the raw word of God. Am I coming to church so that I can listen to a message can change my life? Or I've made up my mind. Some people, they are hardening their mind because of their education. They are so knowledgeable. They are so logical. They are so intellectual. They are so intelligent that their intelligence is what they use to dispute the Bible. Their intelligence is what they use to dispute the truth. Their intelligence is what they use to go against corrections. Because they can argue anything. They can give logical reasons why a man should put sword in his hair. They will give you reason why a lady should wear mini skirts. They will tell you that actually what the Bible says is the inside that's important. The outside does not pollute. So they are so, they are so eloquent that they can even dissect the message of the pastor and break it to pieces and turn into strength. They are darkened by their hearts. Do you come to church with a mind that you want to be open to the Spirit of God, or every time you come, you are just coming, your mind is made up? So some people cannot grow because they choose to enjoy their ignorance. And a twin brother to this, or very close to it, is the fact that some people come to church with a rebellious spirit. Not some people in their homes. Baba won le ba won wi. Iya won le ba won wi. So they do not take correction. So they take the same attitude to church. They are independent-minded. So, and therefore, even when they come to God, they want to remain independent. See, look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6 quickly. Sorry, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6a. I've just seen that part. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6a. Say, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. And we also do what? Also reject you. Because you have rejected knowledge. And we go to Proverbs chapter 26, verse 12, quickly. Proverbs 26, verse 12, quickly. Proverbs 26, verse 12. Do you see a wise man in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Do you see that one? Is this in your Bible? Is it in my Bible? Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's a more hope for a fool than him. It means a fool has a better hope. It's a terrible state to be wise in your own eyes, to be self-conceited. You are impervious to correction. You, any message that does not go in line with your thinking, it is your own knowledge and your wisdom you to rationalize it. And the Bible says there is more hope of a fool than such a person. May that not be your case. I say it again, may that not be your case. But many people are like that. They are wise in their own knowledge. They are wise in their own eyes. They are legion in their own mind. They can argue their case anytime. They can even argue their case against God. In fact, they can tell God that if you put Jesus here, I can dispute Jesus before you. Bible says, such men who are wise in their own eyes, there is more hope of a fool than him. Does that speak to you? And when some people, when the message I go, like I said, they don't apply the message to themselves. They apply the message to others. They don't bring themselves under the prism of the light of the word of God. But rather, you try to beam that shot light on others. The Bible says there's more hope of a fool than such a person, and it will be difficult for Christ to be formed in him or her. Another reason why people don't grow is that when some people come to church, they just come to church, they are form seeking. They come to church to hear sweet nothingness. They just want to come to church. I said they are fun seeking. They come to church to hear sweet. Know what it's called? Sweet nothingness. They hear things that are sweet, but there's nothing there. Are you getting what I'm saying? They just clap, they tap, they shout, they he, ha, who, hey. Write down, play on, tell them, preach it. They are fun seeking. And when they are fun seeking, they see, no, to them, fellowship is about celebration, it's not about sobriety. Every fellowship, the only thing that excites them is celebration. Sobriety is out of their dictionary. And when you see them, I have no people who will borrow shoe to wear to church on Sunday. Some people go and borrow dress because they want to look fine to wear to church on Sunday. They want to look elegant. If you have good shoe, wear it too. I'm not saying, don't get me wrong. You have fine dress, white. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know I don't dress shabbily. So that's what I'm saying. But some people, they only come to church. They are just interested in just no sweet, what I call sweet nothingness. See, the worship is not just supposed to be, it's not only to be melodious, it should also be meditative. When you look at the meeting of choir today, it was melodious, there was melodious aspect, there was meditative aspect of it. But when you see people, the only thing they are looking for in the church is the melody they are in. No time for meditation, no time for reflection, no time for assessment, no time for introspection, no sobriety. Everything is about sweet nothingness. They are phone seeking. And I want to drive this home by looking at the book of Hebrews. chapter 12, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Can we look at it quickly? Now, no discipline seem pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, he produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. All this thing we are saying, it might not be pleasant. That's what the Bible says. No discipline is pleasant. The process of growth, like I said, it will involve grooming. Do you remember? And I said grooming is about preparation for positioning. I said it will involve chiseling, to be chiseled, meaning to be cut to shape. When you are cutting something that you cannot enjoy it, am I right? It will inform trimming, that you take off some load, some cobwebs, some things. I think I sang this song to you. When I first gave my life, one of the songs I learned, there's a great change since I'm born again. 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 The dress I used to wear, I wear there no more. The place I used to go, I go there no more. The song I used to sing, I sing there no more. That's a great change since I'm born again. But if, for you, since you've been born again and you are coming here, the kind of the song you are singing, of all this what you are still singing, the place you used to go, I see the one you are going, the unbeliever that they are your best friend, I see your confidant, my friend, you are not growing. You are not growing. Go for spiritual auditing. And now today, as I'm concluding this message, we need to subject ourselves to self-spiritual audit. Am I really growing? What is the change that has come into my life? See, when you come to church, it's not every time you come and hear something that will comfort you, that just make you to be happy. You should sometimes listen to message that will discomfited you, that will give you discomfort, displeasure. It's not every time you come to church, you just be smiling. You come to church sometimes looking down and then thinking. It's not only about just patting you on the back all the time. It's about sometimes give you a knock on the head. But some people, they don't want to have the knock. They only want the pat. No, they don't want bitter cola. They want sugar. They want honey. They want cake. That's not where it's supposed to be. Sometimes you should come to church and bow your head when you are going back home. It's not every time that you expect the pastor to come and preach a message that just make you to be happy and say, that's my pastor. You should at least listen to some message. Sometimes you go back and say, what really happened today? Am I really there? Am I getting it right? Am I missing it? You should ask, sometimes go back home and what you should hear and just set you thinking. That's me. That's somebody who is ready to grow. That's somebody who is supposed to grow. That's one that can be transformed. That way, this is what I call transformational membership. Because they are ready to go through the process of growth. And then listen to me. Look at what that pastor said. Say, it might not be pleasant, it might be painful. But later on, however, what does it say? Harvest of righteousness and what? And peace. For those, I like that one, who have been trained. But let me tell you something. If you refuse instruction now, 10 years down the road, you might become a butt of jokes. Those who refuse instruction now, go and God preserving our lives, if the Lord tarries, go and look at them. And those who take instruction now, if the Lord tarries, go and look at their lives. Take to those things now. Listen to those things now. Take those corrections now. Allow to be chiseled. Allow to be trimmed. Allow yourself to be groomed so that you can prepare for positioning. And I want to say, as I'm gradually coming to the end of this message, I'll still go to the same one. I told you three reasons why people refuse to grow. I said, number one, can you tell me again? They enjoy their... Number two? Good. Number three? And then number four, some people used to grow because they have no respect for the culture of church or Christian culture. Let me tell you, the culture in Christendom is different from the culture of the world where we are coming from, two of us. So, but what we are doing now is we are imposing or superimposing the culture of the world into the culture, we are superimposing the culture of Babylon into the culture of Canaan. Do you get what I'm saying now? We are bringing Babylon to Canaan. And let me see, tell you, culture, even in the Bible, the culture of a place, highly respected. And I was shocked when I read something about Abraham. It might be little, but I want us to look at it quickly. Let's go to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter what now? I think Genesis chapter 23. Yes. Genesis chapter 23. Read verse 7 and verse 12. Quickly. Genesis chapter 3, verse 12. And Abraham rose and bowed before the people of the land, the Hittite. Abraham was mourning in the land of Canaan. He came to the land of Canaan. You go to verse 12. Again, Abraham bowed down before the people of the land. That was the culture of Canaan. When Abraham came there, Abraham was highly respected. But he follow the culture of the land. And another thing, quickly, if you look at Joseph, quickly. Joseph, I think, Genesis 43, yes. Genesis chapter 43, verse 32, I think. Quickly. Genesis chapter 43, verse 32. And they served him by himself, the brothers by themselves, and the young who ate within by themselves, because Egyptian could not eat with Hebrews, for that is the detestable to Egyptians. If you read it in King James, it says it's against their, it says an abomination to them. When Joseph was the prime minister, when he wanted to receive his brother, he didn't just say, in his house, because I'm here. He started, let us eat together. Because in where he came, they normally eat together. But in their land, they don't do that. What did he do? They served them. And he didn't overturn it. Now, but it's in the church, I see people come to church. We say, okay, if you want to minister in the choir, I'm not saying you can't wear your trousers. One, it is not too bad. But we say we don't want you to say you want to minister in choir and wear trousers. Why? People have different shape and different type. You know what I mean? We don't want you to come here and the people are looking, what people are looking at are the cause of your body and not the ministry you are ministering. We say when you come here, you cover your hair. You say, no, that is not it. I will not agree. It's in the church that people will begin to question and query the Christian culture. And they will say, no, it is the way we used to be that I want to remain to stay. How can they grow? Tell me. How can they grow? When you don't have respect for Christendom or Christian culture or the church culture, you cannot grow. And please note it, every place has its own culture. Some things are not sinful, but something in some culture may not be considered to be expedient. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? You are not happy with me? But that is the truth. That is the truth. You must have, if you want, we are ready to grow, you must have respect for the culture of the church and for the Christian culture. So let me just leave it like that before I now go to the last, because I want to finish this series today. But just know, for you to grow, there's a price to pay. It's not free. And the price of discipline. It's the price of obedience. It's the price of submission. If you are not ready to be disciplined, if you are not ready to obey, if you are not ready to submit, you are not ready to grow. Tell somebody, I'm ready to grow. I will submit to discipline. I will allow discipline. I will be obedient. God will help you in Jesus' name. And the last reason why I said the right reason to come to church, people come to church to be accountable. What did I say? You come to church so that you can be, you come to church for accountability. See, everybody can stay in his house and say, I pray, I fast, but I do evangelism. But that is not enough. God has established fellowship, gathering for fellowship and for accountability. And you have to be accountable not only to God, but to man. I say, I want to be accountable, so I'm under a leadership. And those who come to church for accountability and they are really accountable, they are the people I call reliable membership. The membership you can rely on. Reliable membership. They are not only part of the number, they are not only counted, but they are what? They are accountable. And I want to look at something quickly. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, quickly. I will rush through because I want to finish. 2 Corinthians 20, verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe the Lord, your God. So shall you be. Then believe his prophet, so shall ye prosper. It's not only about believing God. Otherwise, if it's only about God, then there's no need. But there are two things here. Believe in God, so shall you be established. That means when you believe in God, your foundation is set. Are you getting what I'm saying now? You have your root. But for you to flourish, you need to believe his servants. These are two things. Get rooted in God, but get nourishment that can make you flourish. Are you listening to me? So the accountabilities are two levels. It's not only God that wants to see you. God wants to be accountable. Order and authority. That's the way. And let me tell you, some people come to church, they are not accountable to anybody. They are only accountable to themselves, to their whims and caprices. I feel like going to church today, I don't feel like going to church today. They feel like going to church, they come. They don't feel like going, they don't come. So nobody, they don't think, if I don't go to church today, who is going to arrange the chair?
If I don't go to service today, who is going to do the projection? If I don't go to church today, who is going to clean the lavatory? If I go to church today, are we going to have enough ushers? If I don't go to church today, do we have enough people to set up the instrument? That's accountability. You are not only just, after all, God knows that I'm not feeling well. God knows I'm not in good mood. So they are only accountable to their mood. And their mood is like a swing. And you know one thing? It is not the crowd that gets things done. It's the accountable that brings the change. When you see a church, so many people say crowd. It's not that crowd that gets things done. It's only those who are accountable that brings about the change in the church. We are going to have workers' meeting at the end of today's service. At the end of the day, we will see how many people will be stay back as workers. And even among those who stay back to attend the workers' meeting, how many of them are accountable? How many of them are reliable? Those who are accountable, they are the reliable member. That's why I call them reliable membership. So today, as I come to the end of this message, I will anchor with this verse, and I'll just ask you a question, and then we're going to pray. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 6 to 19. But before I go to that, I've told you 3-7 reasons why people come to church and the same kind of membership we have. What for kind of membership again? Transactional membership. The second one, ceremonial membership. Third one, diabolic or mischievous membership. The fourth one are the consecrated membership. The fifth one are what? Sacrificial membership. The sixth one are the transformational membership. And the seventh one are the reliable membership. The question is this: where do you belong? On this seven plane, where can we find you? On this seven step, where are you located? And as you ponder that in your mind, it's up to you to do your self-audit. Go with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 19. Unto me, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 19, that he will grant you, or you can project, okay, yes, it's there, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth. I want to look at what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That may know the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height, and that you may be filled with the fullness of God. That is when Christ is forming you. It's not a sin if it's not yet forming you. But are you ready this morning to prepare in your mind that my desire this year, that Christ will be forming me? And as we look at these seven planes of membership of a church, even in Cedar, where do you find yourself? Stand on your feet and I'll call on Reverend Dinner to come and pray for us on this message and wrap up the message. Stand on your feet and go to the presence of the Lord. And there's this Yoruba song we used to sing. And I think we need to sing it as Reverend will come to take over the microphone. God can only use people that allow him to be forming him. Are you listening to me? If Christ is not established in you, you can do activities. See, activity is different from service. So, are you getting what I'm saying? If Christ is not forming you, whatever you do is just activity. Christ may not be forming you, you might preach. Christ may not be forming you, you might sing. Christ may not be forming you, you might be in ushering. Christ may not be forming you, you might be in technical. You might be in choir. It's not an indicator that Christ is forming you. If Christ is not forming you, whatever you are doing is just activity. But it's when Christ is forming you that whatever you do is service unto God. So we sing that song. Iminiolo fogore olua mafukutaro bomio paolola iminiolo fogore olua mafukutaro bomio
paolola iminiolo fogore olua mafukutaro
taking time to speak to us. We have turned the church to house of pretenders. The enemy has anointed us so much that we can pretend for a decade in the church. I want you to respond. We're just going to respond to the teaching and the preaching from the man of God. I want you to lay your hands on your heart. Lay your hands on your heart. Lay your hands on your heart. Are you ready? Let somebody say, Father, by your Spirit, remove every veil, every vestige, every covering cast that have shielded me away from your truth. Father, tear away every covering cast upon my heart. Go ahead and pray, somebody. Minister to yourself. We are closing the service. Minister to yourself. Open yourself up to God. Remove every veil, every covering cast, every vestige, every masquerade regalia that the enemy has put on me, that I've put on myself. Tear them off, Lord. Tear them, O 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 O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. With our hearts still on our hearts, Lord, create a new heart within me. Holy Spirit, create a new heart within me. And renew a right spirit in me, O Lord. Renew a right spirit in me. Create a new heart in me, O Lord. Renew a right spirit in me. As I go today, go ahead and talk to God. We are closing the service, but we need to tie this message up. I was privileged to be here when the man of God started this teaching. And it's a pleasure I'm here when we are tidying it up again. His divine arrangement. Create in me, O Lord, a new heart. And renew a right spirit within me, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Holy Ghost, by your fire, I pray for your people after you have spoken to us that you burn through all the heaps of garbage that the world has put upon us, that the society, the culture of our environment has loaded upon us. Burn them in the name of Jesus. Burn them in the name of Jesus. The philosophy of it doesn't matter. The philosophy of that is how God created me. That is how I am made. That is my chemistry. We are different. Leave me alone. Lord, I ask, uproot it in our being. In the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, met us. According to that great saint of old, put us in circulation. Met us, oh Lord. Put us in circulation. Met us, oh Lord. And put us in circulation. To you be the glory. In Jesus' name. Please, it remains one assignment. I'm happy to be in the prophetic Sunday. And I never planned it. It's a divine arrangement. It's a simple thing. I've prayed for you. I want you to raise your right hand and raise it towards the pastorate. Just raise it towards I'm not going to say anything more than that. And the prayer you will pray for the Salamis, for the Awotoyes, and down the line, the leadership of Sida, is we raise a prayer shield. We raise prayer shield for the Salamis entirely. Let nobody interpret anything. But just follow it. We raise prayer shield for the Awotoyes. And everyone involved in the leadership of Cedar, we raise prayer shields on this altar. Today, as we enter into May, we raise prayer shield for you. Go ahead and pray for our leaders. Pray for our pastors. Pray for their families. Just pray. Don't interpret. Just pray. We raise prayer shield. Yay! For the Salamis, for the Awotoyes, for all our pastors, their children, their wives, their husbands, for all our leaders, down the line, we raise prayer shield. We raise prayer shield. We raise prayer shield. In the name of Jesus, we raise prayer shield. We raise prayer shield. We raise prayer shield. We raise prayer shield. Yes, for you, for your family, for your property. Yes, for every operation of your destiny. We raise prayer shield. We raise prayer shield. Yay, mizida kataya, urika payama kurike poziada, irakuziada bababa, urikezia. We raise prayer shield. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Please, it remains one. Just open your eyes and look at me. The Bible says in Genesis, Joseph was a fruitful bough. The archers troubled him. Number two, Zechariah, smite the shepherd. We're going to pray. Every archers and every shepherd smiter. Every archer, every shepherd smiter. Holy Spirit told me there are some people that are releasing to the world. They are anointed to smite shepherd. Every shepherd smiter. Concerning this, our pastors and our leaders will destroy you today. Every archer, gbogbo awon tafa tafa, will destroy you concerning them today. Let's go ahead and pray. That's the last. That's the final. You can't pray for them. They have labored on us. You can't pray. Because I don't say, thus hear the Lord. I don't narrate a vision. Because I'm not here to say, hey, I saw this, I saw that. No. Just pray. Pray. And you will be blessed back. Every archer. Every archer. Troubling them because of their fruitfulness. Shooting at them because of their fruitfulness. Every shepherd smiter. Shepherd smiter. They don't smite any other person. It is only shepherd that they smite. Let's destroy them. We destroy them. We waste them. Concerning the Salamis. Concerning the Awotoyes. Concerning all our pastors. All our deaconesses, all our unit leaders, concerning all our coordinators, we waste them. We destroy all the shepherd smiters. We cut them down before you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. As we stretch forth our hands towards them, simply join me to release the blood of Jesus upon them three times. That's all. Can we go? The blood. The blood. The blood of Jesus. Can we begin to worship God and give him praise? Let's worship him. Let's give him praise.